Hello, Deha. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in.
Hey, everyone. I'm sitting at Mohaka Beach recording this. I wanted to bring that energy of my tipuna to this podcast. I don't have much to say before this one. I feel Maripas explained herself really well, and it's such a beautiful reminder about the power of this work internationally. So even though Maripas is from Mexico, from Nyacho land, and we wove together in Perth, to know that our tipuna all across the world send these karanga out to us wherever we may be, and the connection of Indigenous peoples throughout the land is a really beautiful one. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Today we are here with Maripas, a beautiful friend of mine and an Akutura Whanui trainee. We met through dance, so we're both dancers. I heard your Mexican accent and... did we sit together in a closing circle and you ended up coming to Akutura Whanui Māori Healing Training? And it's been a real lesson for me to hear your experiences, I guess, from another culture, but another Indigenous culture. Maripas, also a Reiki practitioner, a dancer. Welcome. Thank you for being here today.
It's such a pleasure to be here with you and sharing this space and exercising my voice.
How would you describe or introduce yourself now? I know that identity piece is an ever-evolving thing, but yeah, what would you say to that in this moment?
Identity, like you said, changing, evolving. I'm now more sitting with the question of what am I instead of like who I am. I find it hard to describe what I do or who I am. I know what I bring. I'm aware I'm a human. I'm a soul. I'm light. I can tell you the story of where I come from, what I do. So my name is Maripas Espinosa Núñez. I was born in Nyacho land, which is an indigenous territory in central Mexico. Nyacho means people of the deer. That's my community. Both of my lineages, maternal and paternal, are Nyacho. I've been a teacher, a traveler, a dancer, a writer, speaker. And I started all of that in linguistics and then slowly transitioned into the healing space, bringing my own story, which has been filled with different challenges, a lot of pain, losses, abuse since childhood, different types of abuse. And step by step, all of that has been transformed in me, in my soul, in my being, in my body, in my life. And today I am honored to be a practitioner of Maori healing, records, Reiki, and just trying to bring all of the tools that I've been learning to help people who have shared kind of the same path in the past.
Would you share with our listeners about your experiences with Maori healing? I'd love for you to speak to whatever comes through.
My experience with Maori healing, it would be really hard to put it in one word, but I would say if I had to, I would use the word transformative. That's what it's been for me. I'm pretty sure that the Maori energetics came into my field when I first met you on the dance floor, because I remember the first time I saw you. You were all in black and I'm a pretty tiny person. And for those who know you, well, like, I looked at you and you're like, oh, she's a witch. I need to speak with her because I could see you're dancing and all of that. And I was like, yeah, this is my person. So we kept dancing. And at the end, somehow, we always do a circle after each dance. Somehow we ended up doing our shavasana next to each other. I was like, okay, something is going on. And then you spoke to me. And then I found out you spoke Spanish as well. I was so enthusiastic, so happy to have met you. And I think that's when the Maori energetics came into my life. So that was probably the first stage. The second stage was the body activation that I had with a graduate, Hannah. We were also doing a dancing retreat. We were in Bali at that time. And we were paired up for a body awareness exercise. As soon as she touched my body, at that time, my post-traumatic stress disorder was bad. I was pretty scared of being around people, speaking with people. I was just not in a safe space, emotionally, mentally, in my body. It was really tough. So when I was paired up with her, it just felt right. With Hannah, it just felt right. And for me, that was the body activation, because as soon as she touched my body, by the time we had to swap in the exercise and it was time for me to do some movements in her body, like, you know, extremities and all of that, I saw orange dots throughout her femur. And being an experienced Reiki practitioner, I knew, like, oh, okay, so these are energy points. But at that time, I didn't know those energy points were, like, specifically described in Maori healing tradition. They have a name, Haemata, and, you know, I didn't know any of that. I only saw the orange dots. So that was my body activation. And then so many other activations happened afterwards. When the retreat ended, I came back to Perth, which is the place where we met. You invited me to the training, and that was where the actual journey of transformation started. Energetic activation and body activation were just the preparation for something bigger. When you invited me to the training, I was probably at one of my lowest points, and in all regards, I was in depth. I was isolated, nervous system completely dysregulated, so far away from home, like literally on the other side of the world, not knowing what to do with my life, depression, anxiety, PTSD, all of that. Well, actually, now I'm changing the words. I don't use PTSD because I don't think it's a disorder. So I just call it post-traumatic stress, either response or just post-traumatic stress. But the journey has been transformative. I remember the first session that I had, that I've received. It was powerful. It was raw. It was painful. But it was also my first experience ever of feeling supported in a group. I remember you saying, like, I was on the table, right? And I was crying. I was screaming. And I don't even know who was around, but it felt like there were five different people around me just pulling my legs and my arms. Yeah, it was intense. But I remember you saying, we got you. And that changed everything. To me, that was the first ever experience of full trust in a group. Trust and support.
Yeah,
that was freaking special. Honestly, it was like living the whole trauma experience, but for healing purposes, in a completely different way. So it was like I went back to all these experiences that had been painful in my past, but that needed to be released. I couldn't really have words of gratitude. I don't think even gratitude describes what I feel. A Maori healing, like the Maori energetics, reconnected me with my body. I had never felt this alive in my body. It also reconnected me with my heart, with my unique path. So the journey hasn't been, and the reason why I say it's transformative is because the release is just one part of the journey I've learned throughout the Wananga spaces with that. Yeah, every time. This is just crazy. Like every time, either Wananga online or in person or receiving a session, every time something shifts. And for people who are familiar with quantum leaps, that's the only way I could describe it. It's like that transformative power in such a short period of time. Like, reflecting in our last one, when I was trying to share a bit of my story looking back. So I did the training in 2023. And in 2021 was when my mom passed away, and I was dealing with a lot of grief also from past years. And a year afterwards, all of the memories of abuse started to surface. So I uncovered all of those things in 2022. The following year, I did a training. 2023, and now it's 2025. Like, nobody, it's not even 2 years. Like, nobody would believe that anybody with the sort of experiences that I've had since childhood and even before I was born, nobody would believe that a person could recover in at such a fast pace. So yeah, transformative, I would say. It's been a journey of coming back to my body, honoring my body, connecting with people, trusting people again, healing my mind. Like, whenever we share learning spaces in Wananga and you or someone does a karekia, that's the prayer, and I hear the language. I don't know what the language does. I don't understand. But I know it does something in my body, in my heart. But all the thing that is coming to me, a big part of this transformative journey for me has been owning my own Indigenous identity, which has been powerful, and it's been only possible thanks to the Akotorofano family. This was the first space ever where I saw powerful women, first time ever, powerful women standing in sisterhood. Not only women, brown women, not only brown women, Indigenous women, just like myself. And they were all there standing beautiful in their power. I think the word goddess falls short in describing these women. And this was the first time I felt safe enough to say, Rinyatro. I am Nyatro. That's my group. That's who I'm on. And the journey from there has been crazy. And it's not even been 2 years. It's just been a few months, and it feels like it's been decades of owning myself, connecting with my ancestors as well, connecting with that sovereign energy within myself, the power of my tribe, the power within me. It's been huge. It's been huge. Transformative. The other thing, big thing for me, what I was going to with the language. I don't know what's going on with mental health services and in the world. I can only speak about my experience. And for me, Maori language, I'm pretty sure it's helped me in ways that I cannot understand. And it's helped my mind. Like, whenever I'm distressed, whenever I'm feeling lonely, because in the past, I used to struggle with suicidal ideation. Whenever all that was happening, I would play a clearing from our past online wananga, and that would be enough. Or I would take my book, my karekia, my prayer, and I would say the word, and I would be able to fall asleep. Or I would be able to take a flight. For me, that's been like really stressful. Being a free spirit, a traveler, not being able to take a flight has been quite challenging to feel more at ease and just go through the challenges of doing the things that I love. I've been helped out by the language. And it's just in the language, that is something to the mind, I'm pretty sure. So Maori healing has reconnected me with my body, with my mind, and also with my heart, because it's not only been my journey, this transformative journey is not just about clearing pain and healing my lineage, which I thought it was, you know, the thing that I came to do in the world. This journey has been mostly about reconnecting with my gifts and my unique path, the song of my heart and my womb, and enjoy all the good things in life. So it's been a wild journey, but I'm here. Ready. Ready for it. Ready for stepping into what's next. It's been a huge challenge for me to step into giving sessions because you met me, right? I don't know what your first impression of me was, but I'm pretty sure I was so dissociated.
Oh my God. I'm actually sitting here in happy tears of hearing as a kayara, you're the space holder. You witness all those changes, but there's something about hearing you say it and now in your body, because I do remember I wasn't thinking it at the stage because I encounter someone however they are in the moment. If I look back on the past, I remember one time coming out of dance and you were just wandering down the street. There was a lot of that sort of energetics playing out, which is not how I encounter you now.
Yeah, I could feel like even because all of my previous trainings were energy work, Akashic records, powerful, but it's just energy. And still you're encouraged to be grounded. But when you when you have no experience, no previous experience of what being in your body means, how can you be grounded, right? So I was pretty familiar with Akashic records and Reiki, and I was all floaty, but I never knew what it meant to be in my body. And touching someone's body, it was just like, because I remember even with Hannah, it was my turn, right, to move, to bring some movement to her body in that dancing retreat. And I was scared. I was like, I cannot do this. Like, how do I do this? It was really challenging. It was really challenging. I don't think I even managed. I might have done like two movements and stuff. I don't think Hannah will tell you the story maybe, but I cannot recall. Or maybe it happened, but just my brain forgot.
That insight you'd had about stepping into touching bodies or practicing doesn't have to be like look like how I do it, or like how someone else does it. It doesn't have to be a clinic space. And I just think that could be such a beautiful offering to people. Something I really admire in what I've witnessed in you and Wananga is how you always take that 10%. We have a concept in the practice of Rumi Rumi. It can be quite a physically deep pressure sometimes, not always, but at certain points. And when there's an energy to clear, we often say, just go 10% past where the limit is. And it's not crossing a boundary in terms of a correct boundary, but it's crossing if there might be a stuck energy or a stuck something. And then the same invitation is there for anything in the wānanga. So it could be for some people, it's standing rather than staying sitting, playing with the side of their whakapapa they didn't know, or getting up on the table when you've always stayed on the ground. There's so many ways you can play with the 10%. And I've seen some really, really cool moments, like when you chose, that's a safe man, I'm going to touch a man. Those things are so huge where it can be those changes as well. So yeah. So I want to honor that, but also want to ask what do you have to share about that insight about not having to do it like everyone else?
I've been pondering lately. Well, not really pondering. It's just like landed in my body. One of the things I do remember actually from my graduation ceremony for the first 50 hours, you wrote in a card, something about singularity or particularity, like let your singularity shine. Now that I think about it, I think that's what's been sitting in my heart, and now it's landed in my body completely. The realization that everybody has their unique path. For me, in one of the Wānangas we had last year, I received the monarch butterfly as a totem for my service, which is sacred for my ancestors. They're native from my land, from Nyatro land. So it's in between two different, not two completely different indigenous groups, because we're kind of cousins in the same territory in central Mexico. But I received the monarch butterfly, and for me, that was the beginning of discovering my uniqueness. It's been until recently that it landed in my body, the realization I don't have to be like everyone else, because that used to be a factor, a trigger of shame. Like, oh, why don't I have a family? Or why can I settle in one place? Why am I always flying around? And then with the monarch butterfly coming to my life, and being given to me from my ancestors as a blessing for my service, I realized, oh, that's probably why I travel a lot. And the monarch butterfly, so this is really interesting because monarch butterflies complete their migratory journey in multiple generations. I don't really remember how it works, but one way, so they go to Canada, from Mexico to Canada. So I don't know how many kilometers they fly, just one generation. But on the other way, it's multiple generations who complete the trip. So they carry the wisdom of their ancestors. And just by following their instinct, they know where to go. When I received the monarch butterfly in a vision during a clearing, I realized, okay, I think this means I have permission to be who I am. So the more I've stepped into different yeses to Maori healing in different ways, first the training, and then wananga, and, you know, just bringing myself to those spaces in that commitment, first of all, to myself, I realized, oh, actually, there's so much I can give. And I don't have to be like anybody else. But I do remember that postcard, and I'm pretty sure that's where it came from. The singularity of our dreams. One of the things, I cannot remember where I learned, like, the evolution. Oh, yeah, what we're talking about, it was the heavens. And how Waitiaki, the guardians, keep learning. They keep evolving. And I found that fascinating. I was like, whoa, I had never thought of that. Like, I would have always thought, you know, my guides and, yeah, old spirit guides have it all figured out. And I was like, oh, okay. If they don't have it figured out, then I'm allowed not to have it all figured out. And I think it was your sharing of this evolution, this change in all existence that also allowed me to realize, oh, change is important. I don't have to fit in. And that's permission for me to actually belong. When I don't have to fit in, when I don't have to accommodate parts of myself. It's been a journey of ownership of myself. Sovereignty is one of the other words I've learned from you. And I'm really grateful for that. I think the first time I saw that word was in one of your emails. Like your signature, like in our sovereign uprising. Is that, can I remember the Maori word?
And I also want to say that oriori is our, it's our life call. So it's the energy that our mother called us in with, but it's also the unique vibration of why we came. And then embodying that is such an empowering and important part of this journey, I feel. And when we remember that, I feel like all the things you're talking about are possible. But when we forget it, it's like we become, and I've been here too, but it's almost as though the heaviness of the world takes precedence and it starts to direct our life force. Instead of our oriori directing our life force, it's like the distress of others or the pain of, and it still is others, even the huge world things are others. It's like that energetic becomes dominant in our life experience. There's so many directions we could go from that. What do you wish people knew about energetic hygiene and about energy sharing?
One of the first things that came to me when you said energetic hygiene, I immediately thought of Whakanoa, which is not only a notion, but a whole energetics, I would say, that I encountered, that I get to know during the Maori healing training with you. It's this magical and evolving, not just understanding, but also embodiment of purity, like what pure energy is and how to spread more love. I'm such an idealist, a romantic. I dream of a world, of a reality where not just humans, but the whole creation in general one day can live harmoniously. My middle name is Paz, which means peace. So that's what my dream is for the world. And for that to happen, various steps need to be taken. One of those is energetic hygiene, which is actually a foreign term. Like, this is the first time I'm using it, but it sounds so relevant because with Fakanoa, which is, according to my understanding, not just the channeling of energy, of pure energy, but also staying grounded in yourself so that energy can flow in a way that honors both yourself and people who you are around with. So in that, it's been a huge journey for me to realize what sort of energy is mine, what it is not, and especially with my past of relational trauma and having lots of difficulties in navigating relationships and trusting people. When you are able to trust yourself and know what is yours, what belongs to you, what energy is helping you, you're better able to engage with others. Again, in a way that honors both, I guess, for my dream to happen. One of the first steps that humanity could take might be that harnessing that energetics of Fakanoa, which we translate as neutrality. And to me, is also some kind of loving kindness that is respectful and honoring of both sides.
I do want to say, though, that Fakanoa is a Māori concept that we use in healing and Romiromi and Mirimiri, which has so many meanings, and it's more of a felt sense, but it's to honor the space between the sacred and the human, and to remove blocks or tapu or things that have been made sacred that don't need to be sacred anymore or were sacred for a while. As a practitioner, holding that energetic in your life is a really powerful thing, but then it starts to expand into other spaces. We were talking about other spaces that we exist in and how those energetics can sometimes not be present. One thing that I have really enjoyed also seeing from you is your exploration with pleasure. You don't have to share all of it on the podcast, but you attended many of our wānanga while you were traveling. So you'd be, you know, and now I'm popping up in Bali, or now I'm popping up in Cambodia. And it, honestly, you'd just watch everyone light up from feeling that joy of discovery of of travel, because it obviously is such a core part of your essence. So we feel that, yay. It's not because, like, oh my God, she's traveling. It's like, it's you are alive in that moment. So yeah. Is there anything you'd want to say on pleasure?
Interesting that our souls remember what we came here to do. Like, I remember writing a brief bio for the Māori Healing Akotoro Whānau directory. I reflected on my story, where I come from, and all the past, and how I wanted to transmute it, because I was pretty sure I'm meant to connect with people who have gone through similar experiences of poverty, abandonment, different types of abuse. So I thought, okay, how do I transmute this? What do I want to bring to my life? And I wrote down joy, pleasure, and abundance. My relationship with money has changed a lot as well. And I'm aware abundance is not just about money. On this planet, as we're human beings, we do need money. And my relationship to money has changed in so many positive ways. And it hasn't been about the amount of money. It's never been about the amount of money. I don't even have words for that. It might have been just how comfortable you are with money, which is also a form of pleasure. And pleasure itself in my body. Like, I remember, it's a really fun story. In our Ananga, when was it? 2 months ago, I think. Not the last one, but the second last one. When I was just coming back to Perth, my intention for Wananga was pleasure, right? And I said it out loud. And it kind of was like the theme of the group. Pleasure. Like, more like, because I meant it like sexual pleasure. Like, if I were to tell anybody about my story of sexual abuse and all of that, nobody would believe that I transformed the whole story, the whole narrative, not just in the story itself, but also in my body in such a short amount of time. It's not even been 2 years. So I remembered that one guy, and I say that loud. Yeah, my intention is pleasure. And that was actually the opening of opportunities that brought to me the right people at the right time. Like, it's crazy. After receiving sessions in a safe space, I've been able to embody pleasure, just feel it in my body first in a safe space, because we're in Wananga and I feel so comfortable with women. But the story doesn't end there. For me, it's been just the start of feeling safe, embodying those pleasurable moments in safety. When you're on the table, you don't associate it. Like, I never associate it, like, in a sexual context. It just felt right for my body. But then, transitioning context, when it's in a sexual encounter or exchange, I found how receiving a session has helped me embody the sensation, if you know what I mean. So I can experience it in other spaces. And not, this is not just about pleasure and in terms of, yeah, sharing your body with someone, but in other spaces as well. For me, being on the table is like the opening. It's like the portal. And then you go to the world because you have embodied the sensation. You go to the world and you experience it. I think it's the beginning. It's the beginning of a beautiful new journey of embodying more pleasure and more joy and more abundance. Yeah.
I love that so much. I feel it's often the piece that's missed from the healing discussion. It's like, yeah, we can shift some of those stagnant old energies, but it's also important to step into the new and own that and work out what pleasure is for us as an adult. You know, a lot of our discussions around pleasure are a very, like, either childhood or teenage version of pleasure. Like, what is adult me? Who is me? Who has healed? Who doesn't want to embody some of the things I used to feel as pleasure? And who do I feel good around? What do I feel good around? How do I want my home to be? How do I want my relationship with money to be? Like, all of it is pleasure. And I also love hearing that about money. I feel like it's such a beautiful life force that we have when we can own it and also go, yeah, there's beauty in having, I guess, a high number, but it's not even about the number. It's the energetics of it. When the energetics feel good, we feel safe. And that flows into all the other areas as well. That can be one of the main areas, I think, that our disturbances or disruptions can happen if we feel unsafe in our money energetics.
It's been in my heart for quite some time. In saying that, I also honor your teaching, because your teaching is quite special. I feel like you allow everyone's to find their path. And this is not something I found in other spaces. And it's not only a safe space, that the one you've created, where you can feel fully seen, fully heard, fully valued and honored. It's also a space where you can let yourself just be with all parts of you, like all your pain, all your tears, all your strong releases. Like, nothing is too much when we're together. In your teaching, I find it empowering, like in that allowing, in you allowing people to find their own path, like we can just be ourselves and find our own answers. Yeah. So I think that's been one of the most powerful things. There's just so many things I could say about my experience. I'm excited about the new journey ahead because I haven't done Oriori, right? So, which is the most exciting part. A lot of people are drawn to Maori healing to clear their lineages, their past. But I'm like, there's so much after that. Like, life starts. And this is what I've learned in the Maori healing space. Life starts after that. Like, you own your past. You make sense of your story. you release the pain and now you're ready to step into the new learnings and to take a new direction and to embody all of the beautiful parts that are waiting for you, that have always been waiting for you to uncover. So I'm super grateful. Yeah, I said earlier, I don't even think grateful is the word. It's just like, 1,000 times grateful. I can only feel, I don't think there's a word that has been invented for what I feel. It's just like this expansive energy of gratitude, of feeling, for feeling supported, held, expanded as well in all the loving ways, in all the right ways. So thank you.
I love knowing that story about the monarch butterfly as well, because I didn't know that one. So yeah, just love that connection, that idea of the generational migration with your mahi is beautiful for future generations, descendants, legacy. Sometimes what we're setting up is like, who are the ancestors we want to be for the next generation? So honoring that in you, sister.
And for, yeah, and you know, also coming back to the expansive energy, when I was given the totem, I knew that was it. That was what I was meant to do. And I also see the evolving energetics of it. Like, it's alive. Like, my service is alive. My practice, my mahi. Now, mahi is my favorite word. And I translate it as meaningful work. I think there's just so many ways where we can go in this, like regarding mahi. Because for me, when someone overuses a word, the meaning is lost at some point. So a lot of people talk about purpose. But to me, mahi is that kind of purpose, but with meaning. And I understand now my mahi has its own energetics. And it's the energetics of the monarch butterfly. And she speaks in different ways. And I'm still finding my way. I'm trying to understand the spirit of the work, but in a way that also honors my desires, my needs. So it's been a beautiful relationship that I don't think I had discovered on my own. And without Maori healing. So I'm grateful in so many ways. So grateful. So grateful. For those who, like myself, have struggled with suicidal ideation, having that sense of, this is my mahi, this is my legacy, that changes your life. Like, I remember being at one of my darkest points. I travel when I cannot find answers, I travel. Not as a way of escaping, but as a way of exploring myself. So I went to Japan and I read, I don't know if you've heard of the book, The Manning Search for Meaning or something. Yeah, I didn't read it. I read, because at that time, I had an aversion for men. Like, I was still processing all of the abuse. And I read his colleague's work, The Ballerina of Auschwitz. And so I was in Japan. I finished reading that book and I realized, yeah, I just need to find meaning. The only way for me to hold on to life is to find a reason. I just need to find my reason. So I remember being in Japan, completely shattered, heartbroken. And I danced in a palace. I was in Kyoto. I cannot remember the name of the palace, but I was in the palace, finished reading the book, and I danced. I called my mom and I danced and I prayed to her, like, please help me find the meaning of my life. And so that was 2023. After the dance retreat, actually, after I met Hannah, the week after, came back to Perth, and then you invited me to the training 2020. So that was September 2023. and now June 2025, not even 2 years. And I have now a reason. And that's what I hold on to, because I know I'm not alone. There's so many, not just people, but all existence behind me, supporting me. And there's just so much left to do for whatever is to come, for whatever way beautiful Earth wants to go.
I love that so much. I just wanted to speak to the inviting you as well. So that's not my normal style to be like, do you want to come? I don't actually invite many people to Wananga. I let people find their way to me. After that dance that night, it was such a strong energy of, I have to invite you to come. I think we were talking after the dance or something, and the words just overcame me. So I'm hearing the backstory part of some which I knew, some which I didn't know. We've talked about aspects of this, but it really, really puts it all into context of how beautiful Wairoa is and how if we do learn to listen to that oriori, to each moment, to each breath, how we are provided for and given the knowing for our yeses and our noes and the energetics that sit in there. So thank you.
Do you remember that one time in the ocean? And we shouted, if you remember that one time after a dance, we were trying to find a time for integration and you drove us to the ocean. Oh, and actually we found an altar, right? But I do remember both of us, I don't know how it all started, but we just shouted out the ocean, gracias. Yes, thank you to all our ancestors, to Ayo, to nature, to everything that has brought us right here, right now. Thank you. Gracias.
Those who would want to connect with you on socials or anything like that, where's the best place to find you?
If you type monarca.spirit, so that's monarca.spirit, Linktree, you will be able to contact me, and yeah, I'd be excited to know from you.
Sending so much love and empowerment to you through the voices of your ancestors, the ones who are aligned and with us and with you and with those who listen, and honoring your voice here today, honoring the stepping in.